We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
The world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
Man, what the hell is this, man?
Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm glad they put y'all together. Y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over every...
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined The Breakfast Club. Say something, mother...
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show, Breakfast Club, bitches.
Hey.
Hey, good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ MV.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
That's right. It's a Wednesday, middle of the work week.
Yes, indeed.
How's everything with you?
Well, let's see. Yesterday, I was doing my lip service podcast.
Okay.
I actually had a fun time. It was a packed house.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new group called Girls Club that consists of Dee Woods.
Okay.
And Chanel. You know, they're sisters.
Dee Woods from Danity Kane?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dee Woods and Chanel from Young Money.
Okay.
Not Chanel West Coast.
No, I know Chanel.
Okay. Also, Princess from Crime Mob's in the group.
Okay.
And Mika Means. There's like seven of them, but they were in town, and we actually had a really good time doing that. And we do have My Lip Service Live happening at Highline Ballroom on February 13th. So
okay.
That was my day yesterday, and it's freezing in New York City today.
Yeah, it is. And shout out to... Les, or Les, he's an artist from South Africa. He's been here all week long. I've been showing him around New York City, so I took him everywhere possible. I took him to Queens, I took him to Brooklyn, I took him to the Bronx, I took him uptown, I took him to a couple of Grammy parties, went to the game last night to see the Knicks and the Nets. I've just been showing him New York, because when I went out to South Africa, they showed me a great time. So they are leaving today, so shout to my people's from South Africa.
They must have did a lot for you while you were there, because I can't even imagine Envy just... going out like this.
And I told them that. I told them I don't usually go out unless I get paid. But they, you know, when I went to South Africa, I did a couple of shows. But then they did the little things like inviting me over to the crib with moms and everybody cooked. And they did things like
did
that.
Did you invite them to your mom's house in Queens, though?
No, I didn't.
No, I don't know them like that.
No, I don't know them like that.
Hey, listen, no disrespect.
No, I don't know them like
if
that.
If you're that hospitable to me, cool. That doesn't
right.
mean I'm going to return the favor.
That's right.
If you're that trustworthy, that's fine.
I showed them around. We went around all through the city, so.
I've never gone out of town and went to someone's house.
Yeah, it took me to their house and everything. And, you know,
that's the ultimate level of respect, by the way. If you bring somebody to their mom's house, your mom's house, and they cook for them, that's
yeah.
Or even your house.
Yeah.
And your wife cooks for them. That's the ultimate level of respect.
But they gave me, like, South African food, authentic South African food. So it was amazing. I had a great time in Johannesburg.
You think they're more hospitable than we are here in America?
Yes, absolutely.
We're not very hospitable people.
Not at all.
And plus, if you home, I mean, listen, if I'm all the way in South Africa and somebody visits them from America, it's not like they're just going to pop up on you the next day. All right?
That's
once
true.
They go back to America, they on in a whole other continent.
Right, right.
All right? I feel more comfortable with that.
Right, right, right. So that was they're leaving this morning, so shout to them. And then we got to talk about Donald Trump. He gave his...
Since we're talking about America.
Yeah, since we're talking about America.
I was on the opposition last night on Comedy Central. Drop on the Jews... What did I say?
Clues bombs.
Clues bombs.
Clues bombs.
Yeah, drop on the clues bombs for my man Jordan Kepler. I was on his show last night, The Opposition, discussing the State of the Union. And it was live at 11:30.
So you're tired right now.
Nah, not really. I slept during the day.
Oh, you didn't have no sex yesterday then?
I definitely didn't have sex
That's
yesterday.
Bad. You, we know too much about each other. Like, oh, you got it every time. You didn't have no sex yesterday.
You just understand what age we at. So when you get to that certain age, after midnight, boy, you get one of those nuts off. It's, your leg's gone.
Gone.
Right?
Gotta get a little rest.
Done.
All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news. I know we're talking about the State of the Union address. Mm-hmm. Anything else we're talking about?
That might be about it, but we are going to talk about Puerto Rico and FEMA ending food and water shipments now.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's Crew, it's Gold Link, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, let's talk sports. Congratulations to James Harden. That boy be balling now. He was the first player to score 60 points in a triple-double. He scored 60 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 assists. And the Rockets beat the Magic 114-107.
James Harden can ball, I'm telling you, man. Ever since we stopped seeing James Harden out and about with a different Instagram model every week, balling on another level.
Now he's focused. Now let's talk about this State of the Union recap.
Let's talk about what happened yesterday at Donald Trump's State of the Union, his first since being president. Now, one thing that he did call for was for everybody to set aside their differences and come together. Okay, here's what he said.
I call upon all of us to set aside our differences, to seek out common ground, and to summon the unity we need to deliver for the people. This is really the key. These are the people we were elected to serve.
Oh, since you can't get money to build a wall now, you want to build a bridge.
He wants the Democrats basically to support the Republicans.
Right.
Even though when it was reversed, it was not happening.
Well, you should have been trying to build bridges and not walls from the beginning, sir.
Now, he also talked about black unemployment numbers, which he's been bragging about for quite some time. Here's what he said.
And something I'm very proud of, African-American unemployment stands at the lowest rate ever recorded.
Hey, salute to all the black people that Donald Trump got a job. But Donald Trump is like used to being the abusive rich boyfriend. He'll beat you on Monday, then buy you a Birkin bag on Tuesday. And when you complain about getting beat, he brags about buying you the bag.
Mm-mm. All right. And CNN actually did a whole fact check on certain points that Donald Trump made during his State of the Union address. And when it comes to black unemployment, they said, yes, that is true. It has fallen to a record low. But the other problem is that we still have a lot more joblessness than white people. So that's something that has to be worked on. 6.8% for black people, 3.7% for white people. All right.
What is it? 6.8 and 6.7?
6.8 and 3.7.
Oh, 3.7.
Yeah, 3.7. All right. Now, we also talked about North Korea and Guantanamo Bay. He wants to make sure that we keep Guantanamo Bay open. Here's what he said.
North Korea's reckless pursuit of nuclear missiles could very soon threaten our homeland. I just signed, prior to walking in, an order directing Secretary Mattis to re-examine our military detention policy and to keep open the detention facilities in Guantanamo Bay.
Now, I don't know what he's talking about right there. I got to ask Angela Rye about that one.
Well, Guantanamo Bay is where they detain terrorists and they grill them and they torture them.
Yeah, but
and
what
so
that
for
got
a
to
lot
do
of
it,
civil rights activists, they have issues with how people are treated there.
But what that got to do with North Korea? He started off by saying North Korea, it could be a threat to us, but then he started talking about Guantanamo Bay. I'm trying to figure out what's the correlation between the two.
North Korea. All right.
I was confused.
Now let's talk about tax cuts. Here's what Donald Trump had to say about the supposed huge tax cuts that we are going to be getting under his presidency.
Our massive tax cuts provide tremendous relief for the middle class and small business. To lower tax rates for hardworking Americans, we nearly doubled the standard deduction for everyone.
Is that true?
All right, now, according to the fact-checking on CNN, that is false.
I figured it. It didn't sound right.
That's the only thing you had me on, sir. I'm all for that one now.
Not
got me with that one.
Now, according to tax analysts, they're saying that four other tax cuts have been bigger than Donald Trump's. And they're also saying that it's pretty standard and that some of those tax cuts over a period of time will actually just go away. Mm. So an average increase of 2% in after-tax income for people who are middle class and higher income households would see more than a 2% after tax income.
I do wish that that tax cut was true, though. Because, see, when you're dating the abusive rich boyfriend,
right,
he going to whip your ass. But some of the stuff he going to give you going to be nice.
Oh,
and you can appreciate it.
And by the way, those tax cuts and other benefits would expire after 2025. So they're going to have to figure out what to do after that. So it will diminish after a period of time. But, you know, less than 2% if you're middle class, more than 2% if you are.
Oh, listen, man. Hopefully after 225, we won't be dealing with Donald Trump. But I said last night on the opposition, America is in a prison sentence right now, and we're doing a 4-8. And, you know, at this point, you know, you just got to do the most with your time. You got to do your push-ups, read your books, and hope you don't get raped during this whole process.
I hope it ain't a 4-8 now.
It's a possible 4-8. We're hoping for an early release.
Right.
You know, but we just don't know.
All right. Good behavior. All right. Well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night, bad morning, and you just want to vent. Or maybe you had a great night and you just want to spread some positivity. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Get it, pick up the mother phone and dial.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, how y'all doing? It's Anthony from Baltimore.
Anthony, get it off
your
chest.
What's up, Anthony from Baltimore? How you doing this morning?
That's what's up. Hey, I just got something to say, right? You know, the rape culture thing, Charlamagne. You know, somebody called in one time and said something about the Fresh Prince. Man, I've been checking the Fresh Prince out, man. There's a whole lot of that rape culture in the Fresh Prince, man. You got to check it out.
On the Fresh Prince?
Yeah, man.
Give us an example.
Hey, I don't remember no rape culture on Fresh Prince.
Look, man, like, I seen when Will went to, like, clubs, and he, like, hey, baby, grabbing up on him, pulling their arms and stuff like that. Man, there's a lot of rape culture in the Fresh Prince. Telling y'all got to check it out.
What really you like sexual it. Assault, you mean? Aggressiveness.
Yeah, aggressiveness. A whole lot of aggressiveness.
Well, that was the 90s way, though.
I know. And I'm 40 years old. I grew up in it, too, man. And just like you said, we didn't realize that's what it was, man. And I feel kind of bad about it now.
Well, listen, you be careful because you don't want to be the next person getting called out in the Me Too movement.
Not at all. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Emma.
Hey, Mama, get it off your chest.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I'm pissed off because yesterday I was about to go to bed and I just so happened to turn the channel and it was Trump speaking yesterday. His address to the union, and I was just like appalled that everybody was just kept clapping for him and he just wasn't even talking on anything. Everything he was saying, it was just going around in circles and circles, and I'm like, what is he even saying? He's not even saying anything.
Well, I love the fact that everybody kept clapping, and I love the fact that they clearly had a clap here in the teleprompter, so he had to stop because he knew when the applause was coming. That was
although
great.
A lot of the Democrats weren't clapping. That was not how they were showing that they were opposing.
I loved when the camera would pan out onto the audience because you could just tell how people were just like, oh my God, he's an idiot.
The black people weren't playing. They weren't there for a laugh.
Because it's like being in a relationship with an abusive rich boyfriend. This man has just been beating me all week, and now you're just going to take me shopping and think I'm going to be okay with that? You can't just bring all these bags home and I got black eyes?
Yo, I'm all for Oprah either being president or at least appointing the person to be the person.
Yeah, I don't mind Oprah co-signing somebody has the experience, but I don't want Oprah to be president.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up.
Wake your ass. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Queen God, DJ Envy. This is Fred from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, checking in with you.
What up,
what's
Fred?
Up, Fred? What's
from,
going
from
on?
From one of my favorite cities, Milwaukee.
Get it off your chest.
Oh, the Greek freak.
I'm happy and I'm sad this morning, brother.
Wow, what's up, bro?
Saturday, I went to the strip club, had an amazing time, dropped a bomb for the girls, Milwaukee, Wisconsin strip club, the very nice girls. Went there, had a young lady drop it down, and when they go low on us, Uncle Charlamagne, what do?
You go low with them.
We go low. I dropped it to the floor. Went low to the floor.
Hey, scrub the ground.
RP popping on it, Uncle Charlamagne.
And then what happened?
And then I'm upset because my ultimate goal was going to the strip club because I wanted to buy some Poom Poom. I had $100 and the cheapest lady was $150, and that's why I'm sad because I did not get no Poom Poom.
And they're selling Poom Poom in the strip clubs in Milwaukee?
They selling Poom Poom on the corner still, sir. You just got to have your dollars again.
Wow. Salute to Milwaukee. I know, sir, I like that city for a reason.
Sir, you need to get your mouth game better paused and start talking to women. How about that?
You said your name is John?
No, Fred from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Fred.
Fred, I don't have a problem with you contributing to the Poom Poom culture in Milwaukee. If there's sex workers out there and they're making money off selling sex, yo, he's a good customer.
No, well, that's illegal. so you should be Yes, you can't buy. That's a prostitution.
Yeah, prostitution's illegal.
How you know it's not legal prostitution in that strip club, though?
It's not. Only in Vegas. I don't think
how you know it's not a brothel? Type situation.
Brothels are illegal.
So Lamar Odom, when he was at the Playboy Mansion, now
that
legal?
Was in Vegas.
Yeah, in Nevada, you
that
can
was
do
in Nevada.
That.
Nevada's legal.
Mm. So why do we want rights for sex workers if they're doing illegal stuff then?
What you, look, it's too early for all
I'm
that.
Just asking y'all questions. We tell this.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is Cedric.
All right, Cedric, what's up, man? Get it off your chest.
I'm just going to say I'm tired of my girls not cleaning up the house and not taking care of, you know, womanly duties like, you know, like she should. And so, I'm about ready to end this relationship. And I about really want to know what's the best way to end a relationship.
So, wait, you don't clean the house, but that's the womanly duties.
Oh, I clean. But the thing is, if I told you this, it's kind of like, you know, it's embarrassing. I cook Sunday and, you know, just, you know, since I cook, I figure she should clean, you know, half and half. Mm-hmm. And her... She just walked past and dishes and everything just like it wasn't there for about, like, 3, maybe 4 days. Like, whoa.
Both of y'all nasty if y'all let dishes sit in the sink for 3, 4 days.
You try to make a statement by leaving the dishes there for 3 or 4 days to see what would happen?
Yeah, and then even then she wouldn't do it. I had to go ahead and just take care of it. You know, it's getting to the point where I can't tolerate it no more.
So you're going
to
break up with her because she's not a good cleaning person? You want a more domesticated woman is what you're saying?
That's what he's saying.
I guess so, because, you know, I figure like this. I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, I'm paying bills, I'm doing basically everything. And she's not providing, you know, what do you call it?
I'll tell you what you're not doing, sir.
What's he not doing?
You're not sucking your own all right? So you need to show that woman some respect. All right.
Damn right I'm not.
Okay, so that's the least can do. All right, you talk about you doing everything. Goodbye, you're not doing every goddamn thing.
Gosh. All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us at any time. Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's talk about Teyana Taylor, find out what's going on with her new music. Also, Nicole Eggert, you know her from Charles in Charge, and she has recently spoken out about sexual assault at the hands of Scott Baio. We'll tell you what she had to say.
All right, we'll get into all that and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Rockstar. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Meek Millie.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Mills case very carefully, hoping that he gets released from prison. And Angie Martinez sat down with Meek Mill's lawyer, Jordan Sev, yesterday. And we have some audio for you before you can hear it anywhere else. Now, here is what Jordan had to say about Meek Mill and the judge and how the judge is too emotionally invested.
The issue that we have that we've raised in court filings is we think that Judge Brinkley has taken an unusual interest in his career and has stepped over the line from acting solely as a judge should act and injecting herself into his professional career in ways that are not appropriate. And we've set forth all of those in a motion to have her recuse herself that we filed shortly after the sentencing.
It's obvious she's too emotionally invested in what Meek got going on, though.
She knows the music. She wants him to do certain songs. All right, the lawyer, Jordan Sev, also said that the judge is assuming a role that is beyond her role.
What we've said in our filings is she's assumed a role that goes beyond the judge's judicial function in getting involved in things like his management and all. It's just simply not appropriate, and she can't fairly preside over this case, which is why we sought recusal, a motion that she still to this day, 2.5 months later, hasn't responded to.
Right. And it seems she's trying to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner all at the same time.
Definitely seems like she is.
Yeah, it's like a big celebrity case for her. Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to that, lawyer Jordan Sev talks about visiting Meek Mill in jail and his spirit.
I visit him in jail.
How's he doing?
You know, he's doing as well as you can expect. Mm-hmm. There's been obviously a lot of talk about the Eagles celebrating to his music practicing
to
his music.
I know, that made me so, and I don't know, that just touched me so much.
He's yeah. You know, he's really taken to that, and he's a Philly guy through and through, and he's, you know, he's holding up, and he wants justice. He wants to get out of jail, and he wants this sentence thrown out, which is what we all want.
Go ahead, ask your question.
If I was in the studio with Angie, you know my question would have been for Jordan. Jordan, I know you Meek's lawyer, But if you had one choice and you had to either choose for him to get out, parole, no probation, or for the Eagles to win this Sunday, which one would you choose?
He definitely wants Meek to come out.
People from Philly, I'm telling you, this Meek question is like a trick question.
No,
and they do not know how to reply.
Meek has to come out.
Listen, I've been doing a poll all week. It's about 60-40.
Or whose side?
Because everybody's like, look, Meek coming home. Well, we don't know when the Eagles going to win another Super Bowl. They never won a Super Bowl ever, right?
I'm sure even the Eagles want
Meek
to come home.
All right.
Now you're reaching.
All
right. And speaking of jail, DMX is going back to jail. He was taken into custody yesterday in Manhattan for failing drug tests, which is a violation of his probation for his whole tax evasion case. We saw a video of him in the airport buying drinks, buying shots for everybody, and clearly he can't do that. He's supposed to be completing rehab while he's out on bail, and they let him travel a little bit so he could perform. He got some leeway for that, but he was in St. Louis at the bar in the airport, and he was drinking and doing all of that, so that's a probation violation as well. DMX's attorney said, I'm saddened and disappointed. We'll have to deal with it accordingly. He's going to try to get DMX back into rehab, and he's going to be sentenced now in March.
Well, DMX can't ever get the help he needs because they never sending him to rehab. They're always sending him to jail.
He wasn't rehab.
He needs more rehab, less jail. Like, how many times you going to send X to jail?
And no camera phones.
He was in rehab while he was out on bail, and he was supposed to be able to travel and have some leeway for that, but he failed.
Well, give him more intense rehab. Sending DMX to jail.
They had somebody with them. They actually had the rehab coach traveling with them at one time.
And he got violated for serving drinks to people?
Yeah. He was buying shots. He was
drinking?
And it's all on video, so.
Was he drinking?
Yes.
Oh.
All right.
Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
All right. Now, when we come back, we have Angela Rye in the building.
AR-15.
What's up, Angela Rye?
It's inspirational.
It's a big day for Angela Rye, too, because her show debuts on BET tonight, her State of the Union.
10 p.m., mm-hmm. Angela Rye, State of the Union.
And we're going to talk about
special.
All that.
It's not her actual show.
But it's a series of specials you're going to have.
This is the second one of four. The first one was T.I.
So we're going to talk more with her about that. Also, if you have some questions for her about last night's State of the Union, she'll answer them. So you can call her up right now, 800-585-1051. Keep it locked. Angela Rye's in the building. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now we got to talk James Harden. He was the first player to score 60 points in a triple-double last night. 60 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 assists.
Salute to James Harden. Ever since he got rid of all his Instagram models, you don't see him out in the streets with these chicks no more, and he's been focused.
He is focused.
And first player ever in history.
The Rockets beat the Magic 114-107 tonight.
What if he
uses
that as a line? Like, he tells girls, like, look, I'm trying to be focused. Because you ain't really seen him out in about 2 years. With any woman.
That and the strip club incident. Remember he got to that little strip club incident?
Yeah, that probably made him slow down.
After
you're
that,
right.
Nothing.
You're right.
And we got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeedy.
Angela Rye.
Hey.
Welcome.
She's got a TV show premiering tonight, Angela Rye, State of the Union on BET at 10 p.m.
Thank you. That was good. Hashtag BETX Angela Rye.
But we ain't talking about that yet. We got to talk about this.
Well, we are.
Yeah, it's a big day.
But she's going to be talking about that on the show. It's a rebuttal to the State of the Union.
Kind of. Okay. It's really about, it's going to be very FUBU-esque.
Okay,
meaning,
For us bias.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. I hope your listeners know that. They know.
The kids probably know.
Some of
the kids, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, at least from the Solange album, maybe not from the brand.
You're right.
The thing that I thought was really important is that we just spend just a second on Donald Trump, really, like, probably like our first segment, and then everything else is going to be about our State of the Union, our solutions, how we want to address our problems going forward. One of the things that we have seen very consistently this year from us is he does not give a flying damn about us, so we definitely have to care for
What do you mean? Black unemployment is the lowest it's ever been in a
long time.
Hashtag
thanks, Obama.
Well, let's talk about the
residual effects of Obama's presidency.
Because all economic indicators lag. That is a well-known thing, whether you went to the first day of class of micro or macroeconomics, or you stay to the last, you learn that very early on. If you don't believe us, look it up on the internet.
Yeah, so that's why they say, like, they were saying something about him, whatever he put in place won't be seen until 2025 or something like that?
Well, I don't know which part, but if there's some aspects of tax reform, that's true.
There you go.
Okay, so a number of things. There's economic indicators. One of the things that I think is really important. Do you all remember during the campaign, every time a new jobs report came out? These are numbers that are shared by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which was created decades ago. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump would say it was fake news. He didn't believe those statistics.
Correct.
That in some way the Department of Labor was making things look better for Barack Obama. Now all of a sudden,
those statistics are accurate.
Right.
Right? It's the funniest thing. So it's like, I need you to pick a side and stay on it, bro. But he can't.
One of the 48 laws of power, let other people do the work. You take the credit for it.
Now let's talk about the State of the Union. What did you think about it last night?
I didn't think too much about it. What I'll say is...
Did you watch it?
Absolutely.
I fell asleep during it.
You did?
I did.
I actually can't blame you for that. It was one of the most boring, negatively toned State of the Union addresses. It's so funny to me that expectations have gone down so much that people are saying things like, well, he was the adult in the room. Well, damn it, he's 70-something.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you should be extra adult.
Oh, when they be like, oh, this humanized him. Like, that should be a bare minimum requirement to be president, to be human.
Well, it's really hard when you act like a demon 9 days out the week. 9 times out of 10.
Right.
But I think maybe it is nine days out of the week. Right? But I think the other thing that was interesting to me is this was one of the longest State of the Union addresses. Mm-hmm. And it's also one of the most troubled presidencies to have to go into the State of the Union address for this just to be his first year. Considerably in many relationships, even with your friendships, the honeymoon stage, he has one of the lowest, or actually the lowest approval rating in history for mm-hmm. the first year mm-hmm. of the presidency. So he was up against quite a bit, and he didn't really shift expectations too much. He hit a number of topics and also was really quiet on a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump, even given all that we've experienced with gun violence this year, completely silent on gun control,
mm-hmm.
given all of the clouds and issues surrounding Russia, not a single mention of Russia, despite not agreeing to implement sanctions mm-hmm. that Congress actually signed. Both chambers passed this bill. He signed it into law. They're not going to implement these sanctions upon Russia. I mean, so many issues.
What about if he would have talked about the Me Too movement?
I was going to say he didn't.
Can you imagine? He has all kinds of issues with women coming forward.
He would have talked about that
one. And things that we've heard, he said, personally yes. heard recordings of, and that's not something that he would ever address.
He did acknowledge it was the year of the woman, though, didn't he?
Well, I don't remember if he said that. I might have been
He said something about that.
He might have got a sandwich.
Well, you know what? He might have said that because did you all know that Melania rode separately to the State of the Union address from him yesterday?
Melania got CTE, man. I'm convinced. She got a concussion or something.
That's terrible.
She's had a few concussions because of dealing with him. He's the abusive rich boyfriend. I'm sure of that.
Anyway, that's awful. I'm not doing that with you. But here's the thing that is interesting. You should definitely use that for your rumor report. But he absolutely rode separately from her. They positioned it and messaged it as she wanted to go early and greet her guests who would be sitting with her. But that's also kind of unprecedented. There are two other observations I wanted to make about ways in which folks, members of Congress, engage in silent protests. Mm-hmm. We know Ruth Bader Ginsburg did not go. There were 13 members of Congress who did not attend. That was their form of protest. There was this Recy Taylor pin
mm-hmm.
That CBC members wore. Recy Taylor is, of course, the black woman who was raped by 6 white men in Alabama mm-hmm. in the 1940s, just passed away last year and was never believed. So it was really one of the fundamental pillars about what Me Too and Time's Up is all about. And then the other thing that I thought was interesting is the CBC, my members, my failures who I love, they were out here looking like college graduation with the kente cloth. Did y'all see the
kente
cloth?
Yes.
When they had the cloth of all the places that Trump called the whole country.
Kente cloth is absolutely something that black folks here use as a homage to Africa. Mm-hmm. And they were definitely using it to protest him calling Africa holes.
Y'all know you can't curse, right?
You can get that one off. I saw them using it on CNN.
Yes, you can.
It's
a direct quote.
No, you cannot curse. Y'all can
get away with that on CNN. We can't get away with it here. Trust me,
I
asked.
Yeah, we tried. Yeah.
I asked my boss that same night.
Well, bleep it out.
No, we bleeped it out.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was a direct quote. I didn't say it. He said it.
Right. Yes, out of his whole mouth.
All right. Yeah. All right. You know what? We have more with Angela Rye when we come back. More of the State of the Union, her new show tonight. So keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was French Montana with Unforgettable. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Angela Rye in the building. Now, we're talking State of the Union last night.
And her show that comes on tonight on BET at 10 p.m.
At 10 p.m.
Angela Rye, State of the Union.
What's the name of the show?
Angela Rye, State of the Union.
Okay.
How coincidental.
Right.
What did you think of the overall State of the Union last night?
Oh, man. So I think, again, we talked about the length of the speech. We talked about it feeling very dark, which shouldn't surprise us because of who delivered the speech. Again, I think I wasn't really surprised about what he didn't hit on. It was a very much a make America great again, America first kind of speech. He didn't hit on international policy that mm-hmm. much, mm-hmm. Except for to say That they were going to keep Guantanamo Bay open.
In North Korea, he discussed.
Said this morning I was going to ask you about that because that confused me. Because he started talking about North Korea, but then he went right into Guantanamo Bay. I didn't see the correlation.
I don't know that he saw the correlation either. I think the important thing for him was to sound strong. Donald Trump and the speechwriters were very effective at appealing to and revving up their base. Mm-hmm. This speech was supposed to be about unity. Unifying, moving forward in a bipartisan manner. And that is not what he did. I mean, you can look at the audience, the applause, super typical, right? State of the Union speeches. Mm-hmm. Democrats stand for some things, Republicans stand for others, everybody stands for other things. But you heard a lot of groaning and kind of booing and hissing in the audience, particularly when he got to immigration policy. You know, the ways in which he talks about dreamers, you saw in your mind, again, the moment during the campaign when he talked about Mexicans being drug dealers and rapists. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's maddening about it is he even used these stories. These stories were extremely effective where he went and talked about the people who were sitting with Melania. And the story story related to immigration was about MS-13.
Which I haven't heard that name in years. They've done a terrible job of marketing and promoting themselves. The Bloods and Crips have been killing them in the marketing department.
MS-13 out in Long Island?
They're in Long Island?
Yes, they're in Long Island. So they've been killing people like crazy out in Long Island.
My fault.
Ridiculous out in Long Island.
Oh, I didn't know that. I haven't heard that.
He also said
that's the story from last night. You could have heard it from the story from last night. Anyway, the point that I'm raising is
it's crazy out there.
The one immigration story is this. And then he talked about diversity visas, right? Being used to just let anybody in here. Do you all know that is how most folks from the African diaspora get to this country? It was just maddening to hear the way that he describes immigrant communities, chain migration. He's a product of chain migration. His grandmother got here. That is how Donald Trump arrived.
Wow. So Donald Trump's an immigrant?
No. Why do you half-ass listen?
I'm asking for real.
She said no, damn it.
Oh.
He's not an immigrant directly. He's a product of chain migration, of a policy that he was condemning yesterday.
Gotcha.
And what I'm tired of, generally speaking, are folks in the majority, people that are beneficiaries very clearly of white privilege, mm-hmm. who as soon as they are beneficiaries of something want to close the door on other people who have benefited from that same thing. It's bigoted and ignorant, and I think that is the biggest frustration I had listening to the speech. The other thing that I thought was extremely hypocritical, he had this really strong moment about lowering the price of prescription drugs, something else that George W. Bush did.
Right.
But right before that, he talks about how they finally repealed the linchpin of Obamacare. Mm-hmm. How are you going to work to make prescription drugs more affordable and then kill affordable health care for so many Americans?
True.
It doesn't even reconcile. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the real benefit of that?
So what, I don't understand, why is his base getting riled up about this? Like, is that language too much for his base? Is it going over their head?
When you say which language? Which
like just
part?
Saying things like that, because you're taking away Obamacare. A lot of his base, the people that actually are into him, are using Obamacare.
But here's the kicker. Mm-hmm. Do you all remember when they first started polling people around Obamacare, they would ask people a question that said, do you prefer the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare?
And they didn't know that.
They didn't know they were the same thing. Right. So him saying Obamacare, he knows
he's
that they, anything
Obama.
With Obama's name on it, they don't like.
Right.
That's why he's literally, one of his signature achievements has been to, just undo a lot of the regulations, mm-hmm. executive actions, executive orders that President Obama signed into law. That has been one of his signature achievements. They love that he's undoing that.
Now, let me ask you this, because last night, a lot of time, Donald Trump spent a lot of time talking about things that he feels he has accomplished, right?
Yes.
That was the base of his speech. I've done this, 80%. I've done that, I've done this, I've done that. Has he, in your opinion, is there anything that you can say, well, at least he...
Yeah, what has he actually done?
What has he done?
Because a lot of things were already put into effect. We're in momentum, and we see the effects of it while he's president now. But it was things that were in effect before he became president. But now that he is, mm-hmm. has he initiated anything that we're like,
hurt yourself thinking about it.
No. And it's not going to hurt me to think about it. I think what hurts me is the impact of what he's done, right? So if it's not changing in a negative way, going backwards, how we're talking about fellow Americans, global citizens. He's done that. We've gone backwards. He did sign tax reform into law. That is going backwards for a number of people because the beneficiaries of the tax reform plan are
the rich people.
Absolutely, and huge corporations. Not even small businesses will really see the benefits of that. All of the regulations that they have rolled back are all harmful. He didn't mention anything about climate change yesterday.
He made tax sound good. He made it seem like these are the middle class are going to get more money and small businesses are
like
not going to tax as much. I was like, wow.
Well, and he also talked about the infrastructure plan. He makes infrastructure plan sound good. But here's the thing. When you think about what will benefit us, it's not just the rhetoric surrounding it. It's the actual meat and the policy behind this plan. So one of the things, if there truly ends up being a $1 billion infrastructure plan, who's going to work to ensure that minority-owned businesses, there's a program in the Department of Transportation which would be responsible for most of the implementation of the infrastructure package? They have something called Disadvantaged Business Enterprises. That's DBEs. That is where most African-American-owned, women-owned, Latino-owned businesses go to get contracts or subcontracts from prime contractors using that category. Who's going to work to ensure that they can actually get that business? That package won't benefit us if we don't see the jobs from it and the way in which they demonize low-income folks. People who work on the lower end is going to be tough.
All the way they're positioning them now, they might give the they might say the disadvantage are actually the white people, the poor white people.
But they don't qualify for that program right now. I mean, the way that this Republican Congress is working, they could work to codify something like that. At this point, nothing would surprise me, but right now, that is still a program that benefits us.
Then he showed he likes black people. He had a young brother there that's a welder, and it was like, I heard he's a...
I heard he welds pretty good.
That was crazy.
What is that?
But he did
cite his source, though. He was like, such and such told me that.
But listen, he came from the same manufacturing plant that Staub Manufacturing or whatever that he shouted them out earlier on. He worked for them, so he couldn't even find a worker from a different place.
Donald Trump is really an abusive boyfriend, like, who beats you but then buys you nice stuff. And then when you complain about getting beat, he's like, well, I bought you this. That's what he does.
Well, we're going to take your calls when we come back. If you want to highlight Angela Rye, ask her some questions. And then we have to talk about her show tonight. That's on BET.
10 p.m. Angela Rye, State of the Union.
All right. So 800-585-1051 is The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ NV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Angela Rye is still here.
AR-15.
You need to sound happy about that.
Angela Rye is still here. So she has a dope starter jacket on.
Yes, thanks to you, Envy.
There you go.
I still like my free stuff, Republican.
That's NBA. Okay, I'm just making sure that's an NBA team.
This is Sonics. This is all 206 everything up in here.
Not a Seahawks.
We don't have a team anymore. No, I actually boycotted the NFL. What did you do?
He watches it still.
Colin, get your boy.
Now, I saw football on at your house one time.
You lying. Oh, no, that wasn't my fault.
Your brother had the football on one day.
My brother did that. He did, you're right. That's so shady. I'm not my brother's keeper in this moment.
There is a lot of people that have questions for you, so let's go to
that's
the phone
so
lines.
Me. I hate you so much.
Hello,
right now.
Who's this?
Hi, this is Mike.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Hey, Mike, you got a question for Angela Rye?
I want to know how she feels about the top Russian spy meeting with the head CIA officer in this country. That just seems foul to me. Yeah, I'd like to hear the response from that and from Angela because, you know, she's about the only one I'm looking at that really stands up to these cretins we have in office.
Go ahead, AR-15. I like that word, cretins.
Go ahead, Angela.
It starts like cracker, but it's
right.
Cretins.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Anyway, so here's the thing. There are so many layers to the issues, the relationships, the connections to Russia that began at the very beginning of Donald Trump's campaign. Like, so many layers that myself, as someone who prides myself in knowing, you know, politics and the issues, it's confusing. Like, it's a super confusing web, whether we're talking about the Russia sanctions piece, we're talking about these memos that House Republicans on the Intel Committee agreed to release, only the Republican memo, not the Democratic memo. Donald Trump walking off the House floor yesterday from his speech assures a Republican member of Congress that the memo is going to get released. Yes. He hasn't even read, right?
And he's kind of looked like he was joking about it.
No, joking about it, but right. Very serious, like 100% it's coming out, right? So my point is there are so many layers to this, and the concern that I have is we've been dealing with and grappling with the issues for so long, the conspiracies of it all, that we're starting to harden our hearts to it, right? Like, it's not that serious.
Yeah.
But this is literally an issue that is eroding democracy. Now, I know as a person of color, I would say democracy's been eroded, right? Like, since we set foot on this soil, democracy's been eroded. It's never been right. But what's happening right now is really, really dangerous. Doesn't take away any of the issues of oppression that we deal with every single day, but we need to acknowledge it for what it is and what it could mean for our overall national security.
I wonder why he didn't address it last night at all.
Because his lawyers, I'm sure, warned him not to do it. There's been talk that Robert Mueller wants to actually speak with Donald Trump. Of course, there was a Chris Christie interview yesterday where he said he does not under any circumstances recommend that Donald Trump speak with Mueller. The reports coming out that he wanted to fire him in June, that is obstruction of justice, right? There are all of these things. Wow. Anyway, we could talk about that for hours because that's a book.
Well, hello, who's this? Hello.
Hey, my name is Tolton. I'm from Queensbridge, New York.
Hey, what's up, bro? What's your question for Angela Rye?
I wanted to ask Angela, how do you maintain your professionalism when everyone's always throwing shots at you?
Good question.
I always see you on CNN Tonight with Don Lemon. I feel like everyone is always coming at you, and I always feel like you're always able to maintain your demeanor despite you having to respond to the incident, constant insults, and just how do you do that?
It's so funny that you say that because there are a lot of people who think that I am not professional on CNN Tonight, whether it's from an eye roll or a face or, you know, I get louder, I start getting bouncy, or this fool calls me AR-15. So there's all of these things. So I guess it's in the eye of the beholder, but thank you. I try to maintain my professionalism, but more than professionalism, I try to just be myself authentically, me, and respond exactly how I see fit. And more times than not, because I don't have a filter, it just comes out as honest as possible. Yeah, thank you.
No, that's great. I'm 19 years old. I'm thinking about becoming an activist, and I really, really just appreciate you being authentic and real, but also just maintaining yourself to where you're not looking, you know, representing the black community in a negative way. So
I
definitely appreciate what you do.
Hey, make sure you watch her tonight on BET at 10 p.m. Angela Rye, State of the Union.
Let's take one more. Hello, who's this?
Hello, this is Renetta Richard from Flint, Michigan.
Good morning, Mama. What's your question for Angela Rye?
My question is concerning when President Donald Trump stated that he's going to bring jobs back to Detroit, into clean coal, and we have the Great Lakes. We cannot afford for him to damage our environment. I mean, GM has done that for over 100 years, and they haven't paid to restore our environment. For him to say, okay, we're going to go back to destroying the natural environment and removing us from the Paris Treaty. I am currently running for governor, and I'm an African-American woman. And the issue that I have with him is triple-fold. He's all about capitalism. He's taking democracy away. And my question for her is, how does she feel about that? Him trying to regress the environment and take away the things that make us who we are.
Sure. So, first of all, just to acknowledge Flint for a moment, right? He didn't talk about Flint.
Not at all.
Flint has had a water issue now for 1,300 days and counting, more than 1,300 days. And so for this resident of Flint who said she's also running for governor to bring up issues around the environment, which he also didn't address. Of course, he didn't bring up pulling out of the Paris Accords. This is something that has to be front and center. But Republicans and many of the members of Donald Trump's base don't even agree that climate change is a real thing, right? They think it's a hoax. At first, Donald Trump talked about it being a hoax created by China. So she's right. For him to say beautiful, clean coal is oxymoronic,
right?
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And then everything about his speech, I mentioned to Eugene on my team and Z on my team in the car. I said, didn't it feel like we went back in time last night? Like, think about Barack Obama's last State of the Union, where there was all this talk about innovation and a path forward and, you know, how we get ahead, like space programs and all this. He didn't talk about any of that.
I do have one question. Does Omarosa being on Celebrity Big Brother count towards Trump lowering black unemployment?
Oh.
Shut up.
I thought I can't cuss on this program. Why are you bringing up old stuff?
Let's talk about your show tonight.
Yes,
now
let's
talk about
do
your
that.
Show tonight. Tonight, 10 o'clock, BET. Well, now, what is the show going to discuss? Is it only State of the Union stuff, or what are we talking about?
We're going to talk about Trump's State of the Union address, but we're going to talk about the state of our union, what black folks need to do to get ahead to build black political power. We have some dynamic panelists, y'all, that are going to be on. Stacey Abrams, who's running for governor in Georgia. She's a state legislature. Mm-hmm. We have newly elected mayor of Minneapolis, Melvin Carter, Stephanie Brown James, who runs a Collective PAC. We've talked about Collective PAC on this program before. Who else is that? Rashad Robinson, who's the executive director of Color of Change. And of course, Queen Maxine is going to do her own rebuttal of Donald Trump's address. I said on CNN yesterday, I really feel like Democrats missed the mark, the pulse on the culture, because if they were smart, they would have got Congresswoman Waters to do that rebuttal. Yesterday, Joe Kennedy was great. I wish somebody would have told him to wipe the Carmex off the sides of his mouth because it was a little greasy.
His mouth looked like Safari's
mouth.
But
it looked like a campaign rally. It looked like a campaign rally. He was compelling, but it wasn't strong enough. I'm sorry, it was true. But I'm sure he's going to go on to do great things.
All right. Well, we appreciate you for joining us and coming through and explaining and breaking down this stuff for us.
Yes, Andrew Rye said BET on CNN yesterday. I've never seen that before in my life.
You didn't?
Never heard somebody mention BET on CNN.
I was just being natural. I was like, yo, they should have got Congresswoman Waters to do it, but she's going to do it on BET tomorrow.
There you go. It's a FUBU rebuttal, too.
Well, we appreciate you again. Angela Rye, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Alessia Cara.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
By now, you know Alessia Cara won for Best New Artist at the Grammys.
Since it got robbed.
People were upset about that and saying that she's not a new artist. Her songs came out in 2015.
That's a fact. Her debut album came out in 2015.
Now, she has been getting a lot of backlash, people telling her that she sucks, death threats and everything on social media. And she posted, to address the apparent backlash regarding winning something I had no control over, I didn't log on to Grammy.com and submit myself. That's not how it works. I didn't ask to be submitted either because there are other artists that deserve the acknowledgement, but I was nominated and won, and I'm not going to be upset about something I've wanted since I was a kid, not to mention have worked really hard for. I meant everything I said about everyone deserving the same shot. Now she goes on to say, I will not let everything I've worked for be diminished by people taking offense to my accomplishments and feeling the need to tell me how much I suck. Here's something fun. I've been thinking I suck since I was old enough to know what sucking meant. Huh. I beat you to it, and that's why this means a lot to me. Despite my 183,625 insecurities, I've been shown that what I created is worth something and that people actually give a-ish. All of the years feeling like I wasn't good at anything or that I was naive for dreaming about something improbable have paid off in a way that I have yet to process. I know it sounds cheesy and dumb, but it's the honest truth. Thanks to everyone who showed me kindness and support along the way. I'll stop talking now.
Well, too much explaining, Alessia. You won. First of all, Alessia Cara is very talented. Do I think SZA got robbed? Yes, but why are you focusing on the people who just have an opinion and think that it should have went to SZA? Well, why not focus on the people that are showing you love and saying
even,
yes,
she's
congratulations.
She's not even saying just the people that said it should have went to SZA, just in general. And I can see she's 21 years old. People are telling her she sucks. She's getting death threats. And it's been overwhelming.
So what?
So, it is hard when you won something. It's easy to say, but and she talks about her insecurities and not even thinking this would ever be possible. And people can be very cruel, as we know. So I know
Man,
it's difficult for her.
You won, Alessia Cara. Throw that trophy up.
Yeah, congrats.
Wipe your tears with some money. You'll be fine.
But there's nothing wrong with her addressing the backlash if she feels like she's actually
feeding the trolls. And that just makes the trolls go harder. Nobody cares about your feelings on social media. When will y'all realize this?
All right. Well, she said her piece. And then she's an artist. She expresses herself. That's what she was doing. Now let's talk about Nicole Eggert and Scott Baio from Charles in Charge. Now there's these allegations that she has brought up. She was on Megyn Kelly's show and she was also on with Dr. Oz. And Dr. Oz, actually, she recorded that interview quite some time ago. And they decided not to air it because they said they had issues with her timeline. Well, they have gone ahead and decided to air that interview after all. The show was filmed January 10th. They got a cease and desist from Scott Baio's lawyer, and now they have aired it. And here is some of what Nicole Eggert had to say about being on Charles in Charge and Scott Baio molesting her.
How old were you?
17.
So that would make Scott 28?
28, somewhere in there.
And did you tell anybody?
No. And in fact, I didn't even tell the boyfriend I got after that, who was my age. Mm-hmm. I think he believes that it was my first time. And the older I got, the more shame came into play.
Wow.
And the more people asked me in my personal life, didn't you date Scott Baio or aren't you dating Scott Baio? It was like, oh my God, no. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I thought that is the strangest question and that people just honestly asked and that they seem to be okay with it.
All right. Well, wow. She goes on to talk about on Megyn Kelly's show, she says that he, can I say finger?
He digitally penetrated.
When she was 14, and she said ultimately she had sex with him at 17. Now, Scott Baio has defended himself. He says these are false allegations. He said he only had sex with her after she turned 18. He did a whole Facebook post saying that she was lying, and he said he posted the letter that was sent to the Dr. Oz show when she attempted to pitch her story to them. He said, after they reviewed this evidence of her deceit, which is not only in her own words, but actually in her own voice, they canceled the planned show. Other media has since done the same. And he said that she started tweeting about this again last year, shortly after the major stories broke about sexual harassment in entertainment. My attorney sent her and Alex Polinsky a letter advising and requesting they take their allegations to law enforcement for a full investigation. They have refused to do so. Now,
this is so crazy to me, simply because I thought Scott Baio was dead. I thought he endorsed Trump and then died shortly after.
Scott Baio is currently on Good Morning America as we speak, and I've actually been pulling audio of what he has to say to defend himself. Check it out.
What happened with you and Nicole when she was 14, 15, 16?
Absolutely nothing. And I find it interesting, Amy, that the moment that her first allegation that we had sex when she was 17, which is not true, as soon as that was proven to be 100% false, she comes up with a new story where something happened once a week for years.
Mm. All right. And when she said, when he said that she should press charges, file a police report, she responded, be careful what you wish for. So we'll keep on letting you know what's happening with that story.
I can't believe people care what Scott Baio has to say in 2018.
Well, he's really vehemently denying this, and he's actually doing press and everything to try to,
I guess, clear his name.
Clear his name. Mm. All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne.
Yes.
Who are you giving your donkey to?
I need all Donald Trump D-Riders to come to the front of the congregation. You know, nothing brings my cold heart more joy than to piss off Trump supporters after a nice State of the Union speech or any time he speaks. Yes, so please come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with you D-Riders, okay?
All right.
Give me some applause, by the way. God damn it. I want applause after everything I say. All right? Same way Donald Trump gets it. There you go. For no reason. I want applause just because I'm talking. There you go, God damn it.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the kind of respect I'm going to demand from this show from now on, all right?
We ain't going to give it to you.
There you go. Oh, oh, oh. All right? God damn it.
All right. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired!
Trump, please step up to the congregation.
Yes, you are
Trump. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
He's a jackass.
Donald Trump has his own donkey to the intro. Give me a round of applause for that, please.
I see that.
All right. Matter of fact, and give Taylor a round of applause for creating that, goddammit. All right. I'm telling you, I'm demanding a round of applauses all of the time now.
Ooh,
all right,
fancy on us.
Donkey today for Wednesday, January 31st goes to each and every one of you dope 45 D-Riders. All right. Now, there's nothing I like better than pissing off Trump supporters. And last night, Donald Trump gave his first State of the Union address, and he broke a record, all right? President Donald Trump broke nearly all records for a modern State of the Union address. And according to the Daily Caller, he generated 115 rounds of applause as he addressed the nation for his first official review of his presidency. 115 rounds of applause in 120 minutes. 120 minutes. That's like three episodes of The Chi on Showtime, okay? And according to CBS News, 30 minutes of the State of the Union was applause. So if you were sitting there thinking, damn, this State of the Union seems longer than the month of January, then you have no one to blame but our celebrity and Chiefs D-Riders, because there was nothing in that speech that should have made people applaud for 30 minutes. Do you know how fire your balls have to be to garner 115 rounds of applause in 2 hours? I know Martin Luther King Jr. didn't get close to that during the I Have a Dream speech, and those balls were fire. Now, I usually enjoy Donald Trump's stand-up routine, okay? I will stop and watch him speak because I enjoy the comedy of it all. But last night, it was none of that, okay? See, we have to stop celebrating mediocrity. People say things like, oh, Donald Trump was presidential last night. The fact that we are applauding our president for being presidential is sad. He's supposed to be presidential. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because he's the president, okay? That's like applauding a Christian for believing in Jesus. That's the whole point of being a Christian, all right? This speech humanized Donald Trump. The president of the United States of America has to be humanized. We're looking for moments of him being humanized. Being a human should be the bare minimum when it comes to being president. Now, I don't like to throw the term D-Rider around loosely, Because we live in a generation, you know, whenever you celebrate someone or you genuinely like someone or you're inspired by someone, when you express that, they say you're D-Rod and that's whack, okay? This society is so used to hating on people that celebrating someone looks foreign to them, but it has to be a gray area, right? Liking someone isn't D-Riding and not liking someone isn't hating, but last night at the State of the Union, there was definitely D-Riding Donald Trump. When you get 75 standing ovations and 39 pauses for applause for a basic-ass boring speech, then that's D-riding. Or maybe Trump has set the bar so low for himself that we have zero expectations. So anything he does that sounds like it remotely makes sense, you know, just a little, people celebrate. It's the whole undersell, so you are guaranteed to over-deliver philosophy. For example, my penis is 7 inches and 3/4 long, 8 when it's warm out. Where's my applause?
I wouldn't applaud for that.
Yeah, I don't know if that gets applause.
Pretty average, I understand, okay? But if I just, you know, if I just say it's 3 to 5, okay? When you see it, I have over-exceeded expectations. You know what I'm saying? That's Donald Trump. Yes. Donald Trump is a little orange penis. All right? Now, if you think I'm exaggerating, I'm going to play a snippet of Donald Trump's State of the Union speech from last night. Keep in mind the stats. 120-minute speech. CBS News says 30 minutes of that speech was applause. Okay, the Daily Caller says an estimated 115 rounds of applause, 75 standing ovations, 39 pauses for applause for these mediocre bars. Let's hear it.
Make America great again. We love you. Strong. America.
Come on, bro. And I know you Trump supporters are saying, shut up, Charlemagne. Black unemployment is the lowest it's ever been. Trump is creating jobs in America. The economy is booming. Okay? Listen, we all know black unemployment has dropped because of things that Obama implemented, but let's humor Trump's base for a moment and give our celebrity in chief the credit for that. Okay? If I give him the credit for that, that's the equivalent of being in a relationship with an abusive rich boyfriend. All right, Trump will give you a black eye on Monday, buy you a Birkin bag on Tuesday, and then when you complain about your black eye, he will brag about buying you the Birkin bag. Give me a round of applause, please, goddammit.
I'm surprised you said Birkin right, bro.
I said Birkin right?
Yep.
I practiced. I practiced. Thank you. Thank you. Now, if you think that this wasn't the ultimate level of D-riding, listen to Donald Trump say one word about a place that I thought he was against. And look how the crowd reacts.
Mexico.
I thought y'all wanted to build a wall. Let's hear me hear that again.
Mexico.
I thought y'all wanted to build a wall around then. Listen, to all Donald Trump's D-riders, I want you to know that D-riding has never been a proper form of transportation. Please give Donald Trump's Amen Corner the biggest hee-haw, please.
What
was it, half a hee-haw? I don't know.
There right. We go.
It's not even just a half a hee-haw. What do I want?
Applause.
You know what? I got to demand more from my people. All right? I told you what the hell I wanted. For nothing. All right? I want those for nothing now.
We need more applause.
Okay?
All right.
I want them for nothing.
This guy is serious over here.
Well, thank you, Charlemagne.
No, you don't get no applause.
Oh, yes, you do. You get applause, too. You get applause.
No, that was for me.
Applause.
She thanked me, oh. And I'm getting the applause.
Oh, no, I thought it was for you. All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you for that donkey today.
We ain't gonna do this all day now.
No, it's Charlemagne 7 3/4.
8 when it's warm out.
Here's to Envy's 9.5.
All right, see, you always take it too far. You always take it too far. No, I don't want to applaud for that. Stop the applause. Damn it, stop the applause.
Here's to taking it too far. Applause?
All right. Up next, stop the applause. Ask Yee. 800-585-1051.
Give it up for Ask Yee.
If you need relationship advice, this guy right here plays the ball. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, you can call Yee right now. 800-585-1051. She'll help you with all your problems. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Baby. Oh. That was Notorious B.I.G. with Big Papa. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, let's get to Ask Yee. 800-585-1051 if you need advice, relationship advice. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is CJ.
Hey, CJ. What's your question for Yee?
Okay, so
I was kind of seeing this guy, and, you know, it wasn't, like, really serious, but, you know, like, we were, like, you know, we were hanging out. And somebody told me, like, a few months ago that they saw a video up of me online, and they sent it to me. And I knew it was me because I could see my tattoo. And I knew exactly who made the video, too, because I saw his tattoos. Anyways, long story short, I haven't told him that I know about the video yet. The video's still up because I go and check it to see if he took it down, and he didn't. And it has, like, almost, like, 30,000 views.
So he put out a sex tape of you.
Yes, he did, yes.
Where is it at?
It's on, like, I think it's on this site called xvideos.com.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, I know it's, like, black and it has, like, red writing. I know it's not Pornhub because I always go to Pornhub. It's not okay. One I go to. But my question is, like, how do I approach him about it? Because honestly, truly, like, I was shocked when I found out about it, but I wasn't mad because it has, like, almost 30,000 views. Like, I'm kind of more pissed that, like, you didn't tell me about it and, like, are you getting a check from this? Like, what's going on? Like, that's what I'm more so upset
It's
about.
Definitely a legal issue. Okay, so you're not mad that the sex tape is out because you actually like the fact that it's gotten some views. But what you want to know is, financially, how can you be compensated?
Yeah, because that's a lot of views. That's a lot
come of ads. Mama, come on. How old are you?
26.
You don't want that out there like that.
Yes, she does, because she want money and she want fame. She want attention like everybody else.
You don't want that out there
like
that. You have a baby one day. You don't want no porn out there or your future husband to see.
She needs bread now.
Porn stars have babies. Porn stars have families. I'm not judging nobody.
So you want to be a porn star is what you're saying.
She wants to get her money is what she's saying. She didn't know he put this up. Do you have any other tapes out, or is this the only one?
No.
Okay.
No.
So if I were you, and you don't want them to take it down.
Well, my thing is, like, I want to know if he's making money off of it. If he's not making money off of it and he just has it up there, yeah, I want him to take it down.
Oh,
but I know
God.
I could just go to them and have them take it down. But I want to confront him about putting it up there in the first place, because I know the website will take it down because they don't want legal problems. Like, I'm sure they'll just take it down.
Right.
If you tell them, I didn't know that it was up there and somebody didn't do it with my permission.
Okay, so I don't know that people get paid. Do they get paid for those videos? I don't know that they cut a deal and whatever. I don't know how that works, because I know usually it's just like clips of different longer videos. What you need to do, though, is have your lawyer contact him, because he doesn't have anything with you signing off. Clearly, it's a legal issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to get a lawyer?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure it's not a problem. I'm sure I can call somebody.
But
she can just write a letter.
But you need to hit him up and say, listen, I saw the video. You should hit him. I don't know why you haven't yet, because that would have been the first thing I did.
Because I'm scared that if he know I know about it, he'll take it down and be like, what video? You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, you already have.
I feel like if I was gonna go that route, like, you know, like getting the lawyer and like the law involved, they want evidence, and I feel like it has to be up there for them to see to have the evidence, because you know how they like.
Well, that stuff on the internet never goes away, by the way. But and you can record it. But number two, I would say that I don't think that those little snippet videos on X videos really make money like that. There's like millions of them. So I don't know that it's going to be a big payday for you.
Okay.
So I don't even know that it would be worth it for one video, but you should definitely talk to him. And when you hit him up, you should be like, look, I saw that you put the video up. Are you getting paid from this? Because if you are, then I need to be compensated as well. And if not, I'm going to do a cease and desist.
Okay.
And I'm going to sue you and just see how he responds to that. Because it seems like you don't really care that it's out anyway, so.
I know this would be devastating to some other people, but, like, to me, like, I used to dance. Like, I don't really, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right, you don't, okay.
It's like, yeah, like, if you're going to, like, do some shit like this, like, for me, it's, like, pervy and creepy that you did it.
Give me my money.
That's what I'm going to
do. I want my
yeah,
coins.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because I'm like, if you would have asked me, maybe I would have been all
right
with it.
Right, but listen, I ain't judging you for that at all, period. I'm sure everybody up here has watched one of the, you know, these sites and multiple videos, so nobody's judging you based off of that. But it is wrong for somebody to post something without your knowledge, without your consent, and without giving you your cash. So go ahead and hit him up and let him know that and say, look, I'm not even mad. I'm not trying to do all that, but I want my money. So hit him and tell him.
Okay.
But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to be a lot. But just hit him up and see how he responds.
Okay, thank you.
Did you see your face in the video? Not at all, right?
No, it's just backshot.
Oh.
Okay, so it's not your face. The guys want to see it.
No, we don't.
I ain't even thinking about it, boo. I'm be honest with you. Huh?
But anyway, good luck, mama.
Thank you. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
All right, when we come back, more Ask Ye. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Ye, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Ye. Hello, who's this?
Good morning. My name's Allison.
Hey, Allison. What's your question for Ye?
Well, I'm in the middle of some drama with my best friend and her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy because she's been my, you know, my day one. This is my best friend forever.
Go best friend.
I'm sorry?
Oh, yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah,
I know, right? And we've been through everything. So, you know, when it comes to guy drama, I'm always the one, you know, she calls for everything. She's always in some sort of drama, you know? And now it's like she's with this guy and he's clearly, you know, he's got a bunch of red flags. Like, he literally still lives with his ex-girlfriend.
Whoa.
And she, I know, it's this whole mess and there's so much more to it. And she literally calls me daily with a bunch of drama and all of this, you know, this mess, and I try to help her and talk her through it, but it's getting to this point now where it's almost like kind of consuming my life too. Mm-hmm. You know, she calls me every day, and it's like I try to stay as drama-free as I can, and now it's kind of coming into my life, and I talk to my boyfriend about it, and he obviously doesn't think too highly of the situation, so sometimes it causes tension with us when we talk about it, and I just really don't know if it's time to tell her, you know, kind of handle this on your own, or if I should still try to be a good friend and help her through this. I really just don't know what to do anymore.
Oh, Allison, I feel you. This is an ongoing issue for a lot of people. I know I have a lot of friends that will call me and tell me the same stories every day when they're going through something, which I don't mind being there for my friends, but if you're going to just keep on doing the same things and getting the same results and not changing anything, I don't want to hear about it anymore. And I think that's part of what the problem is that, of course, when something happens with your friend, you want to be there for them, be there to listen, give an ear, and also give some advice if they want that. But if they're still just coming to you and saying the same things over and over and complaining and they're not taking action to do anything, then that's their problem and not your problem. Now you have overextended yourself. And sometimes people have to stop being selfish in their friendships and realizing, every time you call me, why are we only talking about you and your problems? Do you ask me how I'm doing, how my day is going? Do you want to do something else? I have to tell my friends literally sometimes, please stop talking about this guy all the time. I really don't want to hear it anymore. You already know what it is. We've discussed it. I told you what I think. Nothing new and different is happening. Now, I'm here for you if something crazy happens, but if I'm giving you advice, if I'm telling you what it is and you're not doing anything, then what's the point of talking about it all the time?
You're so right. That's exactly what my boyfriend tells me too. You know, it's not a two-way street. She's really focused on herself a lot in this relationship, and it's so toxic. You know, it's not just good for anyone.
And that's a selfish friend, and you have to call her out on that, because that's what friends do. When somebody's not treating you well or doing what they're supposed to do, if that's your friend, your day one, like you say it is, and you tell her that, then she should respect that, and she should go back and look at the things that she's doing and figure out how to adjust to be a better friend and a better person.
You're right. You're right. And she's open to that. I'm sure I can talk to her about it, and I'm sure it can definitely get better. So I'll just talk to her about it and hope, you know, she'll figure her mess out, you know?
And Allison, sometimes with our really, really close friends, sometimes we do have to point things out to them because they don't even realize what they're doing and how toxic it is. So it's your responsibility to do that. You can't just expect her to know that. She's going to keep on doing those things. And she might have an aha moment like, you know what? I didn't even realize that that's the things that I was doing, and I feel really bad about it. And I am actually going to try to do what you said and make some changes and stop talking about the same things. Because sometimes I also feel like it doesn't benefit a person to keep on talking about something and doing the same thing until you have to tell them, look, this is ridiculous. Stop talking about it. You ain't did nothing different.
You're so right. Yeah, I just gotta make it more, you know, bring it up. Just bring it to the front, let her know, and see what she says.
All right, good, Allison. Good luck with that, man. And
thank you so
shout out
much.
To you for being such a great friend. We all need those.
I try. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you, Mama. You too.
Thank you.
All right. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need advice, relationship advice, you can call Yee. Now we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, we are going to talk about Russell Simmons. Now one of his accusers is speaking, and we have that audio for you.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Yeah. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast
Club. I'm so confused by that record because I don't understand what moisture, wetness has to do with pills and automobiles. I don't get it.
What
do they got to do with pills and automobiles, though?
I don't know.
I mean, either. Maybe I need to actually listen to the song.
Yeah, there you go.
Instead of hearing the hook.
Yeah.
But none of y'all seem to know either, though.
I don't.
Oh, okay.
But I don't. All right, but anyway, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Kevin Hart.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo!
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Kevin Hart, tickets for his Irresponsible tour are on sale now. I was looking at all the dates, right? A lot of them are sold out. However, if you are in Fargo, North Dakota, you can still get tickets.
Fargo? I've never even heard of Fargo, North Dakota.
You never seen the movie Fargo?
That's about North Dakota?
Yeah, that's where it was.
I thought that was about the banks.
That would be Wells. Anyway, go ahead.
Let me see, where else can you... But anyway, he put out a trailer for his tour, and Aniko's in the trailer. He's on the private jet. He's always late, and here's what happens.
We've been here waiting, I don't even know how long.
Shut up!
Excuse me. Put all y'all asses back on a commercial flight. I'm the boss.
You're the boss of what?
Oh, shit. What you doing here?
I'm going on tour with you. Ain't gonna be no more stupid shit. Take the bag and go get the baby.
Man, drop on the clues, mom, for Aniko Hart being such a good boy. Kevin Hart, you better write a relationship book soon. I don't know how you pulled that off. But you know,
that's some truth, too, though. I'm going with you. We all going on tour.
Right? We are going on tour.
We're going on tour.
By the way, that keeps you out of trouble. You know what I'm saying? The same way Lionel used to always have his blanket on Charlie Brown, you got to bring your wife with you. That's your blanket. Mm-hmm. It's a security blanket.
All right. Now let's talk about Russell Simmons. Now, we told you about the woman, Jennifer Jarosick. She's one of six women who are saying that Russell Simmons raped them. Those are the claims, and she was on Megyn Kelly on NBC, and she was talking about why she's filing this $5 million lawsuit against him. Well, she starts off talking about the first incident where she claims that he raped her after an interview.
So after the interview, he had asked my director to leave the room. He wanted to speak with me privately, and he aggressively came on to me. He started to kiss me, and then he raped me.
Did you communicate to him you did not want him, you did not want to do it?
Absolutely, yeah. I tried to force him off, but it happened so quickly, and I just froze.
What year was this?
I don't know.
This was in 2011.
See, I'm interested in seeing how this plays out, because the statute of limitations isn't up for her to press criminal charges, so why is she going for the money first?
All right, well, she goes on to talk about staying friends with him even after this incident.
I feel that I was weak in some ways, and I feel like I depended upon him possibly to help with my film. And also, he was a friend, so it was all, I kind of blamed myself, and I felt that I'm also very forgiving.
All right, she goes on to discuss a second incident that happened, allegedly, where she says he assaulted her in 2016 in L.A.
So I went over to his house in Los Angeles, and we were having a meeting. And he pushed me and forced himself on top of me, and I hit my head this time. That was it.
So wait, I'm confused.
2016 was last year.
So she allegedly raped her the first time.
In 2011.
And then she came back, and then he raped her again, allegedly.
Yeah, she said he had agreed to co-produce and finance her film, so she went over there, and this is what she is claiming happened.
So why wouldn't you just press criminal charges if this just happened last year? Why are you going for the money first?
I don't know that she's not going to do that. Now, here is what she has to say about a conversation she had with him after this.
He told me, Jennifer, I think it's time we promote something like your film. And I was shocked, and I was conflicted, obviously, because of what had happened to me. When I found out, it was a couple days later, and I texted him what's going on, and he called me back. He said, my life's being threatened, and I'm deeply hurt by everything that's happening right now. And I said, well, what are you going to do? And he said, I didn't do it. That's when I said, but it happened to me.
I'm not here to discredit the accuser. I'm not here to discredit the accused. All I'm saying is her situation doesn't sound like time's up. It sounds like time to get paid.
Well, I can't say what it is. And Russell Simmons has responded. And he's basically, of course, denying all these allegations. Again, he said, all of my relations have been consensual. I look forward to having my day in court, where, unlike the court of public opinion, I will have the ability to make use of fair processes that ensure that justice will be done and that the full truth will be known.
So what happens in a court case like this, though? Do they go to court and they have to, like, put all of these facts out for her to get the $5 million? I'm confused.
Well, that's a civil, but this is criminal. But I don't even know
It's not criminal, though. She's suing him for $5
million. Well, that's civil. That's totally something different.
And that's what
different.
I mean. Like, why wouldn't you go for the criminal case first, then the civil?
Well, it's easier to win a civil case than a criminal case, because you don't necessarily need the evidence.
I just feel like from what I'm
hearing... sometimes people lose a criminal case and still win
a civil case.
Right. But from what I'm hearing, it sounds like a crime happened. So why wouldn't you try to get this person arrested for their crime?
But because if you do win a criminal case... 9 times out of 10, you win the civil.
But after a civil, you can still do a criminal, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so maybe she's doing... I don't know if
he can. Matter of fact, I don't know.
say what happened.
I don't know. Anyway.
All right. I'm just putting it out there so you know her side of the story, and Russell Simmons has denied it. I guess we'll see what happens when he ends up in court.
Okay.
All right. I'm Angela Yee, and that's your Rumor Report.
All right. Shout out to Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. The People's Choice Mix is up next. Let me know what you want to hear. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.